Shotgun snap, hand fake to Robinson, taken by Daniel to run over the tackle with ease, untouched. Touchdown, Commanders. The boos cascading down. The rookie quarterback for Washington on a four-yard touchdown run. And Washington has gone up 20-10 with 2:04 to go in the first half.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
He's just the best. Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. On the call, I am Rami Makhlouf. I'm with you for another hour. I'll be joined by Will Perdue, four-time NBA champ, at 8:15 to talk some Bulls. Been talking mostly Bears with you this evening, and you can get in between now and Mr. Perdue joining me. 312-644-6767. I'm asking, who is the measuring stick to compare the Bears to? And not just this year, the big plan. Ryan Poles rebuild, heading into week six of year three. Can I compare him to other teams in the division, like the Lions, who made it to the NFC Championship in year three of their rebuild? Can I compare him to other teams who hired a coach the same year as Matt Eberflus, including Mike McDaniel and Kevin O'Connell? Can I compare him to other teams that hired a GM the same year the Bears hired Ryan Poles, including Kwesi Adofo-Mensah in Minnesota? Can I compare it to first-year offensive coordinators with rookie quarterbacks like the Bears have here and like Washington has with Kingsbury and Daniels? Because no matter which one of those I choose, the Bears are behind. They're behind. And that's why I was saying, again, no complaints about what I saw against Carolina. But big picture, why I've been saying throughout much of this season, I know it shouldn't look great, but I think it should look better than this, especially on offense. Who can you compare them to? 312-644-6767. Who are you eyeing up and comparing the Bears to? Anyone? 312-644-6767. This from the 847. Jaden is running the same offense he ran in college. Caleb is learning a new offense, so you're seeing growing pains with comprehending a brand new offense. Yeah, you could have hired Cliff Kingsbury, who has a relationship with Caleb Williams, who knows that off. Like, you could have done that. That's kind of my point. That's one of the points that I'm making. That you that guy could have been your offensive coordinator, and he knows Caleb Williams. So did you hire the right guy with the offensive coordinator? Did you hire the right guy with the coach? Is this thing where it should be? 312-644-6767. Let me get in a call out in Elwood Park. It's Tony. What's up, Tony? What you got?
How you guys doing tonight?
Doing well.
Guys, listen, I'm not exactly sure what we're talking about tonight, because I'm not sure about Waldron yet, but you know that Washington has played a schedule as weak as wet toilet paper.
That
so
is
far.
True.
So,
that is true.
So let's put things into perspective. Caleb Williams has improved drastically over the last five games, and we're not sure what this offense can do yet. But let's not be Bear fans that are throwing in the towel as early as we did last year, because we know last year was horrible. We were 1-4 at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So right now we're 3-2. We've seen a lot of improvement. Offensive line has had holes in it for the last 10 years, if not longer. I'm not sure Poles is the answer. I thought he was going to be the genius to fix this thing, but injuries happen and things happen. But Eberflus has done an admirable job. I don't think he's the best head coach, but I just do think that they have more worries than what Jaden Daniels is doing when we have the toughest division in football.
Tony, I agree with you in a lot of what you're saying, and I appreciate the call. Jaden Daniels has certainly had an easier schedule than what Caleb Williams has had. And Caleb Williams has made big steps. I was about to say leaps. I don't know if I'd go as far as to say leaps, but he's made some big steps in the first 5 weeks of his NFL career. He has. But to sit here and say that we can't compare the two, I don't, because of that, because look, I'm not sitting here saying Jaden Daniels is better than Caleb Williams. The Bears screwed up in not taking Jaden Daniels, The Bears screwed up in not hiring Cliff Kingsbury. I'm not saying that. We can't say that yet. Nobody can definitively say that they were on the right side of that yet. But all I can go, look, are we just supposed to sit here silent? Should we just shut down the tower downtown that runs the flamethrower, the torch that is 670 The Score? Should we all just shut up and sit here silently and wait until everybody's career is over and then go, oh, yeah, no, he was better. Oh, yeah, that guy was better. You should have taken him. No, I go on what I see. I go on what I see on a week-to-week basis and what I've seen up until now in its entirety. And yes, I even threw in that grain of salt that Jaden Daniels has had an easier schedule. He hasn't faced as tough of defenses as what Caleb Williams has. But Caleb Williams hasn't faced tough defenses every week. The Rams were bad. The Rams were real bad on defense coming in. And Caleb Williams didn't break 200 yards. He was efficient. He didn't turn the ball over. He didn't have a lot of incompletions. I understand. But you should have been able to do something similar to them as what you did to Carolina the following week. The role should have started right there. If not a week earlier against Indianapolis, who came in as one of the worst defenses in the league. So, yeah, we can look at Jaden Daniels and say he's had an easy schedule. Caleb Williams hasn't had the hardest schedule either in terms of the defenses that he's faced. And to this point, let me repeat that, to this point, and nothing is determined and set in stone yet, but to this point, Jaden Daniels, with Cliff Kingsbury as his offensive coordinator, has looked better than Caleb Williams and Shane Waldron as his offensive coordinator. That's all I'm saying. And I need something to measure this against. Not Caleb specifically, not the offense specifically, where this organization is at. Heading into week 6 of year 3 of Ryan Poles' rebuild. That's the question. Who can I compare them to through that lens in framing it that way? There's got to be somebody. There's got to be an organization out there that we can look at and go, oh, yeah, that's where we should be. Or we're better than they are. But you can't. And I think that's what really bothers Bears fans when I bring this to the table, whether it be here on the air or in private conversations off the air with friends and family who are Bears fans. Like, I don't know that you want to face that reality. You want to believe in this thing. I get it. And not saying you shouldn't. Maybe it does get there. But it is a hard reality to face when you take almost any situation that you can compare the Bears to, and again, I'll run through them, whether it's in the division, whether it's a team that hired a coach the same year, whether it's a team that hired a GM the same year, whether it's a team with a first-year offensive coordinator and a rookie quarterback. No matter what situation that the Bears are in that you can compare another team to, they don't fare great. And I know that that's not, you don't want to hear that. That's not an easy pill to swallow. And maybe that changes. Maybe they pass up some of these teams. Maybe in a year from now, I'm sitting here going, well, yeah, you passed up a couple teams in the division, the Packers and the Vikings. Or yeah, I'll take Matt Eberflus over Mike McDaniel and Kevin O'Connell. Maybe I'm saying that in a year from now. Or maybe in a year from now, I'm going, man, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, no-brainer. Give me Caleb Williams all day. I hope that's what I'm saying in a year from now. I'm just saying today, as I sit here today, October 9th, 2024, heading into week 6 of year 3 of Ryan Poles' rebuild, they don't fare well, man. They don't. That's facts. And you can't just tell me you can't compare them to anybody. I don't accept that. I simply do not. It's not that unique or that bad of a situation. I flat out do not accept that. So in comparison to other teams in similar situations, the Bears just aren't where they should be. They could get there. They just aren't where they should be till now. And by the way, you could say the same about the stadium situation. Not where it should be by now. At least I thought it'd be further along by now. Kevin Warren, the president of the Chicago Bears, he spoke on it today after they landed in London.
The score.
Oh, that was big voice guy. Okay, we'll have that in just a second. But he's spinning this thing, man. He's really, really trying to spin this thing in terms of the stadium and the process and where they're at right now, because They don't look great when it comes to that either. Here is Kevin Warren talking about where they're at with the stadium situation.
I mean, status is we're continuing to make progress. I mean, we have a plan. We stay focused still to be able to be in the ground, start construction sometime in 2025. There's a lot of activity that's still going on. We're having regular meetings with key business leaders, key politicians, just staying focused and on course. You know, this is a long journey. On any of these stadium projects, you try to make it as straight of a journey as you possibly can. But this takes time. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of energy. I've been there before. And so we're exactly where I thought we would be at this point in time.
I don't believe you. I'm sorry. When you say we're exactly where we thought we'd be at this point in time, I don't believe you. Now, they never gave us an exact timeline for when they'd be putting shovels in the ground, cranes in the air, as Kevin Warren likes to talk about. They never gave us an exact timeline. I'll give them that. But I'm pretty sure that this is not where they thought they would be by this point. You at least thought you'd have some kind of solid agreement in place, whether it's on the lakefront or whether it's in Arlington Heights, the site of the former racetrack. This is not where you thought this would be. And you wish this was a little further ahead. Be real. Be real with us for one second. But honestly, at this point, man, this is where I'm at when it comes to the Bears and this whole stadium situation. Just tell me when you got a new stadium. Just tell me when you got a new stadium and where to go. That's you don't need to keep up. And I know people are going to keep asking Kevin Warren about this or George McCaskey anytime he gets in front of a camera or a microphone. You really don't need to keep updating me on where this thing is at. Just tell me when it's done. Look, there are certain preferences I might have. I'd prefer no public money went into that thing. I find it crazy that we give billionaires money to build stadiums. But at the end of the day, whatever happens, happens. Just tell me when there is a new stadium and where I should go. Other than that, I don't really need a lot of updates on the new stadium. Oh, man, that music gets me fired up. That music gets me ready for Bulls basketball. And joining me now on the Circus Sports Hotline, 13-year NBA vet, four-time NBA champion. He's part of the Bulls coverage on CHGO. Absolute pleasure to welcome in Will Perdue to the Score Evening Show. Will, how are you this evening, my man?
Rami, I am great, my man. I almost yelled an expletive because I just kicked the chair and I don't have any shoes on. So I was able to bite my tongue as you basically, I heard the ding and I was like, holy crap, I'm on the air. I can't scream what I want to scream.
Oh, I thought it was an excitement. You heard the music. You heard Robbie Triano playing the old intro music, and it was out of excitement that you were just kicking chairs, getting ready to run out there and grab a bunch of rebounds, Will Perdue.
That is correct, my friend.
Do the juices get flowing every year right around this time of year when you used to be reporting to training camp and now you're reporting to cover the Bulls for CHGO? Is it just like natural? Does your internal clock, the juices just start flowing when you sniff basketball season in the air?
Yeah, but you know, the interesting thing is I don't look at this as basketball season. What I used to love, see, quite honestly, mm-hmm. People that know me know that my favorite sport is baseball. Mm. Okay. I grew up in Florida where when you talk about back in the 80s, I graduated high school in 83. Back then, basketball was the sport that football players, you know, those that played fall sports, they played basketball to keep in shape for their sport, most notably football players. Right. And baseball players.
Sure.
Because the basketball season kind of ended right before baseball. So I grew up I was the kid that was dumb enough to play Little League, Babe Ruth with a wooden bat. Because I kept telling everybody, why are you using an aluminum bat? Because once you get out of college, you've got to play in the majors with wooden bats. It's an easier transition. So I was out there dinking singles and doubles, stealing bases. You know, all this stuff. And then all of a sudden I hit a growth spurt and my strike zone expanded. And I was like, yeah, this isn't going to work too well. And a friend of mine introduced me to basketball because I kid you not, my elementary school, we didn't have an indoor gym. We had outdoor
Really?
Basketball courts with double rims and the chain nets that basically people would jump up on and do pull-ups on. So the rims were always bent, and it was just, you know, there was nowhere to play. It just didn't exist.
I love the idea of a young Will Perdue practicing for his pro days with the wooden bat in Babe Ruth Little League.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's just bunt a guy along, hit a single, steal second, you know, tag up on a fly to right field from second to third, and then just, you know, find a way to get home. That was kind of what I was living until I decided to play basketball, because I tell people I didn't start playing basketball until I was 13. I was playing baseball from the time I was six.
Wow. That always blows my mind when I hear stories like that. Guys who didn't play the sport, they eventually went professional in till high school, or like you, till the age of 13. Since you brought it up, we can get into the Bulls in a second, Will Perdue, but I was just saying a few minutes before I brought you on, these baseball playoffs have been outstanding so far. This great game going on right now with the Yankees and the Royals. Do you have a dog in this fight in terms of the playoff teams in baseball, or are you just an outside observer like myself?
Well, the two teams that I follow now, most notably our local Cubs and White Sox, are not in there. So
obviously, yes.
I am kind of, you know, sided with the Mets because they're the underdog. I mean, they found a way to beat the Braves in the winner-take-all single-game elimination. Then they found a way to win the wild card. And now they're just – I mean, they're playing with house money. But, you know, I kind of got off track, but – the reason why this is so enjoyable for me is I remember my days in Chicago and San Antonio and Portland. Mm-hmm. You know, back then we'd have two-a-days, but I just loved the memories of coming home, wrapping my knees and whatever other part of my body in ice, and then just sitting on the couch watching whatever the late-night baseball game was and then falling asleep, knowing that I was going to have practice the next day, but at least I knew I had solid entertainment that night in a baseball playoff game.
You and I are very much alike in that respect. I love just sitting down and turning on any random baseball game, especially once October hits. Talking with Will Perdue, four-time NBA champion, part of Bulls coverage on CHGO.
Randy, before you move on, let me just share with you there. When you talk about viewing an event, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, hockey, the reason why I lean towards baseball is, to me, there's nothing better than grabbing a cold beverage, mm-hmm. whether it be an old style, whether it be a Coors Light, Bud Light, whatever the beer of choice is at that particular venue, and a bag of peanuts, and just sitting back and watching baseball. And just, I mean, the biggest thing I enjoy as of late is hearing all these stories about Greg Maddux.
Oh.
Back in his days when he was with the Braves, when he was with the Cubs, just there's a reason why he called himself, or he was called, he didn't call himself, he was called the professor. Just, I love stories like that. Just that story that he's told about setting up Bagwell in the regular season,
yep.
knowing that he was going to face him in the postseason, about how he gave up a home run in the regular season so that he could set him up and strike him out in the postseason.
Amazing.
I mean, that's next level stuff.
The stuff about calling his own pitches with the secret sign. Oh, it was great. It was outstanding. I could do this with you all night, Will Perdue, but I know we are required to talk Bulls basketball with you, and I'm more than happy to do that. I can't really peg this Bulls team, Will, because there are some people who are saying, oh, they're finally embracing the rebuild. This is a tank. But then I look at this roster and Zach LaVine, if healthy, you still got Vooch there in the center. I'm not saying they're going to contend for a championship, but I think as this roster currently stands, in the mix for a play-in spot, are they not, or is this a rebuild?
Well, okay, first of all, as you've noticed, the organization is not using the word rebuild.
Right.
On media day, Arturas used the word reshaping the roster. It's an adjective for rebuild, okay? But they don't want to sell it that way, and I get it, and I understand. But it is what it is. And as you just pointed out, when you think about this roster from Kobe White to Io to Zach to Giddy to P. Will to the guy from the backup post from the Indiana Pacers to, you know, they've got a lot of individual talent.
Mm-hmm.
But what we don't know, Rami, is who is part of the future. I think even they're trying to determine that as far as who's untouchable when it comes to teams reaching out to Arturas and being like, hey, we'd like to make a trade for so-and-so. Oh, sorry, untouchable. I'm not sure. I would think Kobe would be untouchable. And my point is that it's just, we know that they're looking to make personnel changes still. You know, they made personnel changes in the offseason, didn't bring back DeMar DeRozan, you know, traded, which is quite possibly, you know, the most popular player in Caruso. Mm-hmm. You know, they're vocal. Let's be clear. Zach never asked for a trade. He didn't put his foot down and say, I need to be traded. But what him and his agent have done is agreed to be open to the fact of being traded. And the Bulls have admitted that they are trying to trade him. Right? So you don't think Zach's part of the future. So that's the hard part, is determining as we're watching these games, who's actually part of the future. But that being said, there is a lot of individual talent. And also their draft choice, Modis, he surprised me and played very well, in my opinion, in that game against Cleveland. So there's a lot of positives here in regards to this Bulls team. The question is, behind closed doors, how many games do they really want to win?
Right.
In order to give themselves the best opportunity to put themselves in a really good position in a very loaded draft. And quite honestly, Flag is a generational player that can make an immediate impact and change an organization.
I was going to ask you about that. It was scheduled for later in the interview, but since you brought it up, he's worth every ounce of the hype and the attention that he's gotten heading into this season and teams tanking for Cooper Flag?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. But also remember, only the four worst records,
right,
are given equal percentage points to get that number one pick. And I honestly think the Bulls, from a personnel standpoint, it may not work out that way, but I'm just talking about on paper, are too good to be one of those bottom four teams. So now you're kind of reaching for a Derrick Rose type scenario where you basically had a 4%. I mean, I think it was even worse than a 4% chance of getting the number one pick, but you know, you hit the lottery.
And going back to the Zach LaVine situation, talking with Will Perdue, four-time NBA champ, former Bull, part of CHGO's Bulls coverage. When it comes to Zach LaVine, like you said, he didn't demand a trade, and the Bulls weren't dead set on trading him by any means. But, Will, what it looks like to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's now come to a situation where Zach LaVine knows this isn't going to work here, that they're not going to do what they expected to do when he first came here. The Bulls have come to that same realization. But I think both parties also know he needs to get on the court and show the rest of the NBA that who he is again, and remind the rest of the NBA who he is, so that they can get value and there can actually be some movement forward on moving Zach LaVine somewhere.
Listen, Zach is a former All-Star. Okay, I think we forget that.
Right.
Right. So if he is 100% healthy, which we don't know, but we have to go on what he says and what the team says he is. So let's go on that assessment. Then he needs to play at that former All-Star level in order to, as you said, have value. Zach does have value around the league, but probably not the value that the Bulls would like him to have. And quite honestly, because of his contract, at some point, if you can't make a trade that brings value in return, you just have to kind of put yourself in a position to where, okay, what do we do to just get his contract off the books? And there's plenty of scenarios that say, A, until he gets a full season under his belt – because of the injury concern of the past, nobody's really that interested in even trading for him. He might be here the whole season. But then if he plays well, they'll be able to trade him in the off season. I think we can all agree that he's really not a part of what they consider reshaping this roster and part of the future. But at this point, because Zach's part of the equation and he's currently here, he's still a good player and can play very well. Just the question is now, how does he fit back into the equation? Because he wasn't part of this team at the end of the season when they had kind of developed a little bit of a rhythm.
Yeah, my next question was, how much does the league need to see? How long do you think before somebody bites on a Zach LaVine trade? You're saying it might be the entirety of this. If that's the case, Will, I got to say, you know, last season, the two play-in teams, the Bulls being one of them, they won 39 and 36 games, respectively. If nobody's going to take Zach LaVine off your hands, and he has a healthy Zach LaVine type of season, along with Coby White and Josh Giddey, and some of the other players that you've mentioned, 36, 39 wins is, and I don't know if this is what Bulls fans want or what the Bulls want, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility that we're sitting here at the end of the season and looking at another play-in run, if not, you know, somehow elbowing their way into that play-in picture.
Listen, Rami, that's a best-case scenario, and that's throwing Lonzo Ball into the equation, who I don't like to talk about because it gets my emotions involved. Mm-hmm. That's with him being healthy and being able to play 20 to 25 minutes a game. So let's just look at that as the best case scenario. Okay. And when I mean best case, I mean just the ability to win games, being in games. But let's also go back to last night's game. We saw a lot of the same things. Perimeter defense was suspect. Not a lot of rim protection. Inability to knock down open threes. That's kind of the same issues that they've had over the last couple of years, and that doesn't seem to have changed much. So that's what I mean when I say best case scenario is this stuff starts to get figured out and the rotations get better, the perimeter defense gets better, guys start knocking down open threes. You know, you go back and look at that game, I think they were 4 of 23 in the first half from behind the arc. I love the 23 number. I don't like the 4 number. But I think the one thing that Billy's talked about and Arturis talked about in media day was this team has to play fast. They have to get shots up at the rim. This is about volume for them. This isn't about quality. This is about quantity, because that's going to give them the best opportunity to win. But as you just pointed out, is that what the fans want? Is that what the organization really wants? I can tell you as a former player, Zach LaVine, Coby White, Ayo Dosunmu, I can name every player on that roster. They step on that floor to win, regardless of what they think the organization wants.
Talking with Will Perdue, former Bull, 4-time NBA champ, part of the Bulls coverage over at CHGO. When you look at this team and where they're at right now, Will, as far as the postseason or a potential postseason run goes, actually beyond that, just when you look at this franchise as a whole, if they do land a lottery pick next year, do you think that starts to get this thing back on track to where Bulls fans want it, or is it going to take a lot longer than one offseason and one lottery pick?
I think it's going to take more than one offseason and one lottery pick, but that's where free agent comes in to play. And that's the responsibility of not the players, but Arturis and Mark Eversley. I mean, technically, you can say that everybody at the moment is under a microscope. I know in the media day, they talked about now, you know, they're evaluating Coby White and how does he look as far as the Bulls' future go. Ayo Dosunmu. I mean, you think that Giddey's part of the future, because why would you trade with him? But remember, they have to renegotiate his contract next year because, you know, he's got 1 year left. So there's a lot of questions that haven't been answered. But at the same time, this isn't just about players. This is about Billy and his coaching staff being able to develop some of these guys farther than they are now to the next level. You know, as well as Coby played last year, the big question is now, can he take the next step and be a bona fide all-star. I thought he was on the verge last year. I actually thought that he probably should have won, in my opinion, most improved player, but he didn't because the Bulls weren't on TV a lot, so people that should have saw him didn't. But that's where you're asking all these questions, and then you ask the questions of Arturis and Mark. You know, can they make the necessary, you know, because they can only do so much as far as trying to put themselves in a position, you know, for a lottery pick. But at the same time, can they make a trade with Zach and bring back value or at least get him off the payroll? What about Vooch? You know, are they looking to try to trade him? Can they get value in return? And then can they convince and manipulate the salary cap to where they're now in a great position to bring in, you know, high-powered, you know, organizational changing free agents and all of a sudden make that huge jump from reshaping to contending? There's a lot of big ifs as we go in throughout this season.
That is Will Perdue, 13-year NBA vet, four-time NBA champion, now part of Bulls coverage on CHGO and my guest for the last few minutes on the Score Evening Show. Will, really appreciate the time and the insight, including the baseball talk. That was fun.
Rami, I enjoyed it, man. Listen, as you pointed out, this is the best time of the year because now we're getting into basketball. And there are a lot of individual parts of this particular team that are going to be enjoyable to watch. And there are going to be a lot of games, quite honestly, that are going to be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not, you know, count on them necessarily winning a lot of games. I think Vegas has them like at 27, 28 and a half. And it's amazing how accurate they are because all those big hotels out there were built on winners.
So it's not because they were wrong.
To see, yeah, how this team progresses and how these players develop. So there's a lot of stories to follow. Not necessarily, hey, I want to watch tonight to see if the Bulls win. They're going to win some games they shouldn't. They're going to lose games they shouldn't. But how does this team grow and how did this team become reshaped to where we hope they get to where we feel like the standard of the Chicago Bulls should be, and that's contending for a championship?
No, Will, I 100% agree with you. While the big picture might not be where Bulls fans necessarily want it to be, they will have some entertaining and fun games to watch throughout the season and to listen to right here on the Score. Again, really appreciate the time and the insight. Will Perdue, hope we can do it again soon, my man.
You got it, Rami. Thank you so much, my man. Enjoyed it.
And he joins me on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. You want to talk some Bulls? I'll give my thoughts on this Bulls team and where they're at right now, right after this. Rami Makhlouf with you, 312-644-6767, if you want to get in on the Score Evening Show.
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Tune in Sunday morning, 7 to 11, for our exclusive coverage of the 46th running of the Bank of America Chicago Marathon. Josh Liss and our team of marathon experts will be broadcasting live from the finish line with reports to lead from the lead vehicles and around the course. It can only be heard on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. I'm Rami Makhlouf. Just talked some Bulls and baseball. I had no idea Will Perdue was such a big baseball fan, but that was fun. But I talked mostly Bulls with Will Perdue, the four-time NBA champ and former Bull himself. And at the very end of the interview, he kind of hit the nail on the head of how I'm approaching this Bulls season, which is I know they're not playing for anything, like at best. And I think it is a possibility. If what he said is true, that it might take the whole season for teams to be sold on and take the bait on a Zach LaVine trade, this might be a team good enough to sort of wiggle their way into the play-in picture. Like I told him, 36, 39 wins, which is what the two play-in teams had last year in the Eastern Conference, not out of the realm of possibility. I hope it happens sooner than that they can trade Zach LaVine. But if that's the case, especially if that's the case, this is a team that unfortunately could be in the play-in picture, regardless of what happens. And because of what Will said, it's only the top four worst records that get the equal odds on getting that top number one pick, which would be Cooper Flagg, the guy that everybody is tripping over themselves to get to right now with that first pick in the draft. I don't think they're going to be bad enough to get him. And so for me as a Bulls fan to watch and listen right here on 670 The Score, your home for Bulls basketball. For me to watch and listen, I have to kind of put that aside, what I want this team to do, where I want this team to eventually be, and what they're going to have to do to get there. And just like he said, watch what I think on a night-to-night basis will be a fun team to watch. I think they will play a fun brand of basketball. They're going to get up and down the court in a hurry. You heard him say, Billy Donovan preaching, that they got to get up and down the court and get up as many attempts as they possibly can. Now, that's because not a soul in a Bulls uniform is going to play very much defense this year to speak of. That's part of the reason why they need to get all those shots up. But that could make for entertaining basketball, man. So that's what I'm not that invested in wins or losses. A part of me is kind of hoping for losses just so that they can maybe work their way into a high lottery pick. But watching and listening to them right here on The Score, I'm going to be doing it and like, okay, maybe I get a fun game tonight. Not okay, they're going to win, or hey, maybe they lose enough games that they get Cooper Flagg next year, because a championship is not really realistically in the picture, and neither is Cooper Flagg probably. So I'm just going to watch him or listen to him on a night-to-night basis and go, I hope I get an entertaining game. Both these teams should get up and down the court in a hurry. There should be a lot of points scored. Hopefully it'll be close in the end. And that's the Bulls gave you some of that last year, and I don't think it'll be much different this year. How are you approaching this Bulls season? I'll have time to read a text or two before we wrap this thing up at 9 o'clock. It's Rami Makhlouf. It's The Score Evening Show, and I'll be back right after this.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me with you for a few more minutes, taking you right up until 9 o'clock. My buddy Bart Winkler should be in here soon. We work from the same studio. And he'll be with you on Infinity Sports Radio coming up at 10 o'clock, right after BetMGM tonight, with my buddy Ryan Horvath, taking you from 9 until 10. Big news in the NFL today. I wanted to talk about this real quick, and it relates to the Bears in a way, and that was the firing of Robert Saleh, the head coach of the New York Jets. He was shown the door today, and I mean that literally. He was escorted out by security, did not get a chance to address his team. They just told him, we're going to go in a different direction, and here's your stuff. You can be gone now. Which was weird. I read today that no head coach has been escorted out by security in 20 years in the NFL. I don't know who the last one was, and it's never happened to a Jets coach, and they've given every other coach in the past the opportunity to address their team.
That's
blah,
an incredible
blah, blah.
Stat, by the way.
I got them all for you, Robbie. So there's some speculation, rumors as to why the move was made, having nothing to do with football. If those are true, and they should be looked into, a little bit troubling. But I don't know that to be a fact. And I hear a lot of people saying that, you know, how do you do this? Why do you do this? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying I agree with it, but I think it can be justified. And a lot of people are saying, well, it's not, he's a defensive coach. It's not the offense. It's not the defense that's been a problem. It's been the offense. True, but he's the head coach. And I'm just telling you right now, I said how this relates back to the Bears. If they finish, I don't know, not where we want them to finish this year, right? And people start looking at Matt Eberflus. A lot of people are going to go, well, the defense was good. He's a head coach. Matt Eberflus, Robert Saleh, they're head coaches in this league. And at the end of the day, your record will be held up in your face in terms of how you're evaluated and if you're shown the door one day. Now, the timing of it is peculiar. Again, I'm not saying I agree with it, but it can be justified. The other angle of this whole thing is Aaron Rodgers, of course, who is, he's offended, you guys. He is offended, as he told Pat McAfee today, by the very notion that he would have anything to do with this.
As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it, and that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have, which I don't, but I love Robert, and he was you know, one of those days yesterday.
I don't know if he loved him. There was some friction there. I don't even know if he had anything to do with the firing, quite honestly. Rumor is that Saleh was considering firing Nathaniel Hackett, their offensive coordinator, Aaron Rodgers' buddy, and maybe that's why this happened. But the part I really don't believe, do I have time for the other Aaron Rodgers cut real quick, Robbie, or do I got to wrap this thing up? Here, he did have a conversation with Woody Johnson, the Jets owner, last night, and this is what he said about that conversation.
We had a short conversation. I appreciated the call. It was a genuine call, and he just asked me how I was doing. You know, obviously I got rolled up on in the game, and, you know, my ankle got pretty banged up. So he just called and was asking how I was doing. You know, we talked about the game and how disappointed I was in my performance and that I'm going to play better and we're going to get this thing turned around. And then we hung up.
And he says it wasn't brought up. It was never brought up, the firing of Robert Saleh. And he said, quite honestly, he doesn't need to tell me that. If you know Aaron Rodgers, and he had a conversation with his owner last night, with the team owner last night, who was planning on firing the coach the next morning and didn't bring it up, Aaron Rodgers would be like, you're not even going to tell me that? And rightly so. He's the quarterback of the football team. I do not believe for 1 second that it wasn't brought up. I don't know if he didn't have anything to do with it, but I don't believe for 1 second that it wasn't brought up. Thanks to Jacob Infante of the Windy City Gridiron, Paul Pabst of the Dan Patrick Show, and the Tailgate Saturday mornings right here on The Score, and Will Perdue, four-time NBA champ, part of Bulls coverage on CHGO. Thanks to all of you for your calls, your texts. Thanks to Robbie Triano on the other side of the glass and on the ones and twos. I'm Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening. I will talk to you again soon right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.